In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, this is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen.
Hey everybody, this is Never Seen It. This is the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies they've never seen before. On today's episode, the incredibly funny, wonderful, kind, good-souled Daniel Van Kirk joins us. Dan has never seen My Cousin Vinny, but he rewrote it and we read his script. Dan, you know, is a co-host of Pen Pals with Rory Scovel. He is one of the hosts of Dumb People Town with the Sklar Brothers. He's an incredibly good stand-up comedian, just a best dude. He's been on here before. He's never seen Hoosiers, which I assume he's watched since then, but I don't know. But today he has never seen My Cousin Vinny, and he rewrote it, and we read his script. Please enjoy this episode. It is wonderful. It is funny. I have just the best time. It's always good to chat with Dan. It's always fun. It's good to talk movies with him, and his script is great and hilarious, and I think you're going to enjoy it. You know, Dan's on here. He's talking to us. He's letting us know that Pen Pals is moving to Team Coco, which is super exciting. And so you can follow him and Rory on their journey over there. And please enjoy. I've already said it. You're going to love this episode. Now I sound like the Men's Warehouse guy. You're going to love the way we make you listen. I guarantee it. This is great. This is such a fun time. Dan Van Kirk has never seen My Cousin Vinny, but he rewrote it and we read his script. And I think he kind of probably sort of a little bit nails it. Thank you everybody for listening. Please find me on Instagram at Kyle Ayers, Twitter at Kyle Ayers. I'm getting some stand-up stuff posted up there. I'm going to be going out in, you know, October to a couple places to do some stand-up as well. So find me on there. You can see all those updates. We're at Never Seen It Show. You can follow us on there. We're the actual legitimate verified account at Ferngully. Found our episode from last week about Ferngully. Why is there an Instagram for Ferngully? I can't stop thinking about it. Verified at Ferngully, found us, said they're taking notes about our Ferngully episode with Anna Gilchrist last week. Why is that? And why is that? Whose job? How did that survive the pandemic? I have so many questions. What's the ladder of like hierarchy? Okay. Thank you for listening. Find me online at Kyle Ayers on Instagram and Twitter if you do that sort of thing. We got some merch at kyleayers.com/merch if you want Never Seen It stuff or some of my stuff. Thank you for listening. Please enjoy Dan Van Kirk has never seen My Cousin Vinny. We got your script. Very excited. Rebecca said she skimmed it and she's very excited. I did not read it at all yet. I want to be surprised.
I tried. There was a part where I was like, I have to start summarizing. I'm writing like full like script like scenes, you know, and I'm like, This is already 7 pages. Like I can't. And
it's funny. So you've never seen My Cousin Vinny, and I'll record an intro. Is everyone recording? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll record an intro and stuff, obviously separate. The two movies you've done on this podcast, My Cousin Vinny and Hoosiers. Mm-hmm. If you'd asked me to list Dan Van Kirk's top 10 favorite movies, they probably would have both made it in there. Like these are like, I don't know why. That just seemed like movies you would have seen and loved.
I mean, I just saw Hoosiers 2 months ago.
Did you love it?
Did it feel familiar to your script?
Yes, because I think I even said in my thing that he walks around with a rolled up piece of paper all the time, like, and he does. But you watch enough award shows, you've seen like enough clips of Hoosiers, whether it was like sports movies or inspirational movies or Gene Hackman retrospective. So yeah, it was good. I mean, it's weird how like 80s it is for being set in like 1953, but I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Do you think if you'd seen it when you were 17, it would be one of your favorite movies?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, fuck me.
Why do you love it?
No, I haven't seen it. I haven't it just struck me as like a Dan Van Kirk movie. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, I get it. A lot of people.
I think because you're earnest.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
I mean,
I don't. People keep giving me shit because like, dude, I do the Hub City Movie Club and we just do movies I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And they like freak out. I'm like, there's no way you, like any, like somebody was like, what movies did you see before 2020? And I'm like, I've seen thousands of movies. Like, right. But there's going to be some you just never got around to.
There's this guy.
That's how this show exists.
Yeah, there's two. You know someone who's like, I've seen all of them? Like, you know you haven't. I'm sorry, but you haven't. Mm-mm. Even if most of your time is spent watching them, you haven't seen most of them. There's more movies than there is time.
Right. There's something that like you were like, oh, yeah, I didn't think I'd like it, or I just never got around to it. There's like, every once in a while, I'll see like on Amazon or HBO Max or whatever, I'll see a movie that I'm like, oh yeah, I always wanted to see that. And I have no reasoning for why I never did. It was a movie I was excited to come out. And then it just, sometimes you go through chapters in your life where like movies aren't a priority. And then you go through other chapters of your life where you've got that big time movie luxury life. And you're like, I think that
every once in a while I get so excited about a movie and the trailer and who's in it. And like that fulfills the hole that seeing it would have. Like I'm so overwhelmed with the marketing of movies.
Sometimes
and
the trailer's way better. The trailer for just Pearl
Harbor. This was great. You know what I loved was all at Ford versus Ferrari. I haven't seen it, but I love that movie. I remember and you the poster.
Probably, you pretty much did.
I probably like, did because how much could honestly happen? I bet. They're
it's
fine.
Great though. It's a really good movie, but yeah, the trailer's just as good. I was starting to say the trailer for Pearl Harbor is 10 times
so much
better than the movie.
So really? Much better.
Oh yeah. My god, yeah. It's a great trailer.
In fact, if I'm ranking Pearl Harbors, the movie is below the actual event for me for things that I enjoyed. That's sure. how bad the movie was. I would it go really trailer, bad. Then memes about the movie, then the actual event happening.
Right.
And then the movie Pearl Harbor, which seemed to last so much longer than the actual historical event.
They use a gun in that movie. They use a gun on the ship that didn't exist at the time.
And that's like, really annoying.
Yeah, but who's a... But, you know...
But they paid people to know that.
Right. Like the thing that...
That's the thing. If they were like, hey, we were just college kids and made a movie, like, yeah, I get it. What are you going to go, like,
right.
find the right 50 cal? Like,
right.
But when you're making, like...
The movie is
name?
Called
oh, Jerry Bruckheimer, whatever. Like
Pearl
huge,
Harbor, right? It's not even like the movie's called like Ben Loves, and it just happens to happen in like this backdrop of. They named the movie the historical thing.
Because the thing is, too, is like, well, just get a different shot. Like you don't have to use that gun, right? So even if somebody said to you, like, hey, just so you know, you'd be like, oh, okay, well, let's just think of a different shot. So on some level, it's just like some FU energy where you're like, we don't care.
Yeah,
I just feel like if an AMC television show, Mad Men, could get the right ketchup bottle,
right?
Then like a big budget, right. huge budget studio film that's about a historical, famous
like as
historical
large
event
of a
should
movie
get
as
everything
ever
right.
existed at that
yeah,
time.
Yeah, it just seems like those details are maybe
also,
very important.
Do you know what there are 500,000 of in the United States?
Guns.
Crazy dudes who would know what gun to use who would right. work for free.
Yeah.
No event has more weird historical sticklers than World War II.
Oh,
especially
for sure.
like Americans. Everywhere else was the war happened there, so they're not like, what if we just goofed around about it forever?
Right.
Here we're like, my personality is based off of remembering what happened. I have mm-hmm. weird Nazi stuff. I have this is a mm-hmm. clip that I don't want out of context, but it's like people collect this stuff and hoard over it and watch the 7,000 hour documentaries about it, and they couldn't
and then
like,
watch it in color and then watch it in HD.
Yeah, there is that's crazy.
Well, so sometimes the trailer is just as good. But there's years where I just didn't see the movies I wanted to that year.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's as simple as like you see the trailer, you're like, oh man, I really want to see that. Something comes up, it's not in theaters anymore, and then it's like who knows when it's going to be available, like back in the day, like never digitally, like in
right.
at Blockbuster
right.
or whatever
right.
the hell. Like you just forget.
Enemy
right.
of
even
the state.
Even if you wanted to see it.
Enemy of the
sure.
state for me.
Saw it in theater.
Saw it so late, thought it looked super cool, loved Will Smith. Independence Day was like one of my first favorite movies.
Sure.
Kind of never really saw it. Then what am I? I was never riding first class on United Airlines in 1999, so I wasn't able to view it that
right.
way.
Right.
And then where do you find it? I'm not seeking it out
right.
as like a
right.
17-year-old. And then I think I like pretentious movies in college, and then I'm an adult, and it's
right.
hard to find.
Yeah. Like, so this will drop in July, and later this month for the Hub City Movie Club, I'm going to watch My Cousin Vinny.
There you go.
But last month we did Legally Blonde, and people like lost their mind that I didn't see Legally Blonde. And I'm like, really? Like, really? Like, based off everything you know about me, it's like there's no chance I haven't seen Legally Blonde. Not that I wouldn't love it. Not that it isn't a great movie and super fun and all these things. But, like, there's no chance that I missed Legally Blonde.
There's so little chance that you're upset that I haven't seen Legally Blonde. Like, it's made you. I get that with Princess Bride.
Sure.
And I'm sure it's good. And I'm sure everything everyone's... Someone... This is like maybe the greatest gift a fan has ever given me. And I've gotten a lot of really cool stuff. Yeah. Someone on tour last year... Because The Princess Bride always comes up as like my... Forget like The Godfather. Forget the... It's the non-prestige ones that always hit the hardest with comedy and comedy fans. Mm-hmm. Like Legally Blonde or... Princess Bride comes up. Someone gave me... I was like, I don't have anything to... They gave me the Betamax of The Princess Bride.
Wow.
Like, who could possibly watch that? And now I have it right here in like my down with my records. But I think it's such a fun thing to have. But who... I would have to be a substitute teacher to watch that like 15 years ago.
The funniest thing about that is that like it's such a niche format, that an obsolete format, obviously, that like the only people that you would expect to have a Betamax of Princess Bride are like fanatical fans of Princess Bride, but now you have it. You've never even seen the movie.
Right. I have like a collector's item for this thing.
Also, when it's a movie that like another like age group, like every single person in that age group saw it, but you aren't in that age group, but they still can't fathom that you haven't seen Holes.
Like, right.
Because in their...
I was really waiting for what movie it was going to be, too.
Yeah.
Because in their age group, it's like, that's unfathomable that you didn't see Holes. But if you were 5 years older than that age group, it's very easy that you just didn't see
Holes. Holes is like their Goonies.
Yes.
Right.
Which I also haven't seen, but I have seen Holes. But Goonies feels like...
People give me shit for not having seen Goonies, but it's not my age group, and it wasn't my parents' age group either. So there was no opportunity. Who was going to show me Goonies? Like, my dad's too old, and I'm too young. So and I didn't have a babysitter, so who the fuck is showing me Goonies? Whereas Holes, perfect age group. I read the book.
Right.
Sure.
When the movie came out, I was so excited.
Right.
We're just going to graze right over you staying home alone when you were a kid, apparently.
Yeah, only child, just hanging out alone all the time.
No babysitter.
But if somebody had shown it to you, you might have loved it.
Maybe I would have loved it, but they didn't. I can't think of a single person in my life that would have shown me Goonies at an appropriate age.
A harmless version of the argument where boomers make fun of people for getting participation trophies, but are also who gave them to them. This is like the thing where they're like, what do you want the participation trophy? I handed you when you were six. We didn't go get them. We were kids.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I learned it from you. I learned it from watching you.
Right. You guys from 1992 to 2003 believed in youth exceptionalism, and you bestowed that on every kid.
It's similar when people are like, kids don't know how to change a tire these days. How are they going to... You're supposed to show them.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Because that's what you say. Who showed you? My uncle. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, guess what?
What nephew have you shown or niece?
I love this joke that Todd Glass has, who's so funny. He is in the older generation, and he talks about how some of his friends will make fun of young kids. He's like, kids these days don't even know how to read a map. And he's like, yeah, but they did make one that talks to them. What do you think is harder? And it's like, they solve the problems. Yeah. I could look up changing a tire, but
did you guys see Pretend It's a City?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
God, you haven't seen Pretend It's a City?
No, that sounds kind of cool. What is that?
Pretend It's a City is the documentary series on Netflix that Martin Scorsese produced and directed of Fran Lebowitz.
Yes.
Yes. And there's a part where somebody goes, you know, my 2-year-old brother, there's like a huge age gap between this like 19, 20-year-old. And she's like, my 2-year-old brother is on the iPad all the time. Like, do you think that that's going to like mess them up later on? And Fran Lebowitz is just so like this combination of like cynical, but also like face value, like looks at things from a different angle. She goes, I don't know. In 20 years, what are we going to judge people by? Maybe that kid will be the best on the iPad. Is the iPad how we're going to evaluate someone's ability to get through life? Because if it is, your little brother is already excelling. Do you want to say that like they're excelling by the standards of 50 years ago? No. But who had a magic screen in front of them 50 years ago to do all the things that like she doesn't say this, but I thought it like, yes, we're all very happy for the work of Lewis and Clark, but do you think that they like would have taken an easier option? Like if they could have mapped that in a way that didn't see so much death and struggle.
Imagine if they just had a drone.
Right. Do you think they were like, that? No, we're going to carry this fucking canoe across 9 states.
We're trying to make a story people will misremember, so we don't want to use that.
Exactly.
Right, but that's the argument. It's like people have kids and they are worried about giving them too much screen time or any screen time. And they're like, well, I want to have them read actual physical books and play outside. And that's great. But also, if all the other people in their exact age group are spending all that time online, they're going to be really behind when they go to school and everybody already knows how to do all this shit that they have never
seen
before. It's
like the homeschool equivalent of life.
Right.
I don't know
what the right answer to that is.
I wonder if the kids who were getting the most screen time did the best through Zoom education.
Maybe.
Yeah. My sister's a second grade teacher and she talked about there's just like so many varying levels of technical proficiency in homes, let alone the like financial burden of telling everyone to make their house. If you got 5 kids and not a lot of money, they're all supposed to be on 5 separate screens using the same Wi-Fi in different rooms, and kids are like troubleshooting. Right. It's kind of a wild disparity that I think generally we're sort of in the similar boat with each other. We know a little bit about Mike. We know a little bit about setting up. We can make this that we don't really realize that it's not so accessibly available to people everywhere.
Oh, for sure, though.
Totally. Yeah.
I used to sell AOL DVDs as merch. Do you remember like getting 500 hours of free internet from an AOL disc?
Yeah,
I would tell people after the show, I'd be like, I don't have any merch or anything. I do have some clips online. So if you need to buy some online, I can sell you some online. And then I would hold the discs up. And there's like a distinct time age where people have no idea what I'm doing. And it's like too high or too... I'm really trying to hit the like... age group like I'm a TV 30, producer yeah, you know what
like
I mean
35 to like 48
yeah and right, so they'd be like right now I did a show in DC and did it and someone who's like 22 came up to me afterwards and they liked the podcast and they're like, what are those? You sound insane explaining what that is to somebody.
You're selling the internet, dude.
You're like, this, you used to get the internet in a grocery bag for free but once you used too much of it you had to get groceries again. No one could call you. And then they're just like, now they're, you know, I mean, they're checking their phone while you're talking to them. You're like, that but wouldn't have happened.
They don't know they don't know the dial up sound. They don't know that sound.
Right. Oh, none at all. But people don't talk about that enough. Like the balls of AOL to be like, we will sell the internet. Like we're going to sell the internet. Like we will be the like middleman between the internet and the world. And
you listening, Nestle Water?
They went for it for probably. What really did you say? They had like a good 5-6 year run,
and then that you just get on the internet and it'd be like, do you want sports, news, talk, gossip? And it was like 8 options to choose from. And you know what? I miss it sometimes. I really do.
Meanwhile, the biggest driving of all like internet commerce was the porn industry. Like of they course. Have moved the needle farther than any other industry in terms of like video buffering, like streaming, transaction processing. Like it's all been every church who's like, well, we did a fundraiser, like, and we made money. And like, yeah, you know why? Because of porn.
Every porn, technological porn advancement seems to be a porn-related thing. Cameras, like the when you see like old tins, you know, you remember like tin imprinting, like you have a picture like Billy the Kid or something.
Yeah.
Well, most of the tin imprints that have persevered are porn. Like it's everything.
I guarantee you the first image ever was for sure.
Because what
else you gotta do?
And it keeps progressing at pushing all technology forward because people get so desensitized that they like, well, what's next? And that's the only, and then that trickles down to everything else.
Like, I know we gotta talk about movies and everything, but like, that's a thing people don't remember too, is like pre-1995, pornography was almost mythical. Like, it had a very, like, where did you find this? How did you see it? You found, like, it was like finding the fucking 9 3/4 fucking platform in Harry Potter. Like you knew where a place was where you could enter into this world. And, like, for a long time, that was, like, highly publicized in New York. But then they had a run, like, Giuliani cleaning it up pre-internet, where it was, like, then it was hard to find porn theaters in New York. Like, I remember finding it, like, in an alley. Like, we found a stack of magazines once. I was like, what is this?
Yeah. It's so funny. Like, imagine you're Rudy Giuliani, and you spend all of this time getting rid of porn. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, you go back to your office, you're like, all right, all the porn stores are closed. And someone's like, we just got the internet. And he's like, what's that? And they're like, it's going to fucking ruin your day. Like, all of the work you've ever done is now. Thank you for arresting Pee Wee Herman for keeping to himself.
I still took down the mob. The mob's gone. I'm like, nope, actually, no, they're not either. They just went to a different track out of your purview.
Oh, well.
Right.
Yeah.
Hopefully something happens and the whole world rallies around me. And then if someone's like, it will, but it's also not great.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to burn that too.
Yeah.
What a tragic figure, actually, through that lens.
He's like Shakespearean. Your life's work is taken down by the internet. Then you literally need an act of God or a different God, depending on what side you're on, the same God. But anyway, you need some, like, biblical size event for everyone to rally around you because you're just in the wrong place at the right time. And then, you know, what's the worst that can happen? Certainly in 20 years, you won't be at a landscaping company melting. Like, certainly there's no way you're physically melting at a landscape, which I still think is the funniest anything will ever be. We didn't get to laugh at it enough because we were worried about the state of the world.
Other things,
it's the funniest thing that's ever happened. It's funnier than anything that'll ever happen.
But that happened in, like, the same month that he was caught on camera trying to have sex with a 15-year-old.
We didn't even remember that because it's like the 9th craziest thing. He's a Shakespeare character. It is so crazy. If you scripted him, you'd be like, I think Veep should tone it back. But man, the poor guy fought the porn industry so hard just for it to, like, rain from the sky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'll be okay. I hope he's not.
I'll never see that movie either.
The porn that Rudy Giuliani got banned?
No, the Giuliani story. I'm just like, I'm good.
Yeah. Who? Someone's going to play Rudy Giuliani. And
oh, God.
We know it won't be Christian Bale. He's already played.
It'll probably be somebody 25 years old with a bunch of prosthetics. That's just, like, what they do now.
Yeah.
Sure. It'll probably be Timothy Chalamet with, like, a bunch of prosthetics. Yeah. Like, jowls. Like, they're just going to add prosthetic jowls to him.
That's great.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet. There seems to be less and less time between Pearl Harbor. We waited, like, 60 years for the movie. 9/11, that World Trade Center movie came out in, like, 2005 with Nicolas Cage, where he just stuck under a building the whole time.
Yeah.
And then United 93 came out.
Soon.
Yeah, United 93 was 2004, 2005.
The craziest part, United 93 was 2000. That was the craziest part about it.
And they knew.
Wow.
No, they seem to have less and less time between real life and then a fully produced large version of the movie. Like, even Vice. Is the guy was still around.
Sure.
It's weird. It's weird that the Social Network came out, and it's great. The Social Network's, like, one of my favorite movies.
Oh, it's so good.
But that story has evolved so much since then that I wish that he just made a 10-hour HBO show about it now instead of making that then.
Right. Yeah. It's ready for a sequel.
Yeah, I think so too. Nothing. Certainly, there's no way Zuckerberg becomes a bigger villain after that, right? Remember when we liked him when he friended that girl at the end?
Yeah.
We got to talk about My Cousin Vinny. But who would have thought that would be the most sympathetic he would ever be?
Yeah, now he's just displacing people in Hawaii.
And
just
taking over Hawaii. Yeah.
And Kauai, too. Like, the most, like, don't touch anything here island that they have.
Wait, what is happening?
Of the big ones. In Kauai, he's, like, purchasing this huge chunk of land. Huge.
Taking over. And also, and obviously, Facebook being directly responsible for, like, the alt-right. etc.
Oh, just mass genocides in various countries and the overthrowing of governments, shootings, including one that we're very close to.
Yep. Right. And my falling out with my high school ex-girlfriend's brother. So
Fuck Facebook.
Pretty tragic, guys.
Ironically, your high school ex-girlfriend's brother has an inaccurate gun in his profile picture. That's what they don't know. That gun actually didn't exist then.
Right.
So this, so my cousin, All right. My cousin Vinny. Yeah. We were here earlier. We were so close to it earlier.
Oh, yeah, we were.
Oh, Giuliani will really get you off track real quick.
Agreed.
I also have not seen My Cousin Vinny.
You have not?
No.
You haven't either?
Mm-mm.
Ooh.
But yeah, so we have no way of letting you know what's real and what's not.
I know a little bit of weird trivia about My Cousin Vinny. But I don't know why I know this. I think it's all from making games.
Sure.
And what is it? Like for this podcast, I think it's all about making games for this podcast. But I know My Cousin Vinny like won an acting Oscar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Marissa Tomei won it.
Yeah.
And there's a controversy that they think that it wasn't actually her name on the ballot.
They think it was?
I can't remember. It was her, but the I'm sure it was her.
If you see the ballot, it actually says Moonlight, and so that's why everyone was confused.
Yeah. But they, that she didn't actually win it, and not often that a comedy garners an Oscar.
I agree.
Is this a comedy? I don't know. I really don't know.
Oh, it's a big time comedy. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Ralph Macchio plays one of the, I think it's two guys. I don't really know. And then something happens to them and they're in podunk America. And so they call their fellow East Coast cousin to come be the lawyer to get them out. And everybody learns a little something about everybody else along the way.
Yeah. Is it a mob movie? For some reason, I thought I'm just being, stereotyping Italians. I just immediately assume it's a mob movie.
No, I don't think so. I think he's just true blue fucking Jersey lawyer. And I underestimate him. They judge a book by its cover. And then he's a great lawyer. I think. I don't think I'm wrong either. Some of these movies, it's like Hoosiers. I had a pretty good idea about what it was. I think I was pretty right.
Well, imagine, Hoosiers is even probably a little harder to be super wrong about.
Right.
It's what do you think Remember the Titans is about? I got a pretty decent idea just based off the poster.
For sure,
But, My Cousin Vinny, all I bring into it knowing is, Joe Pesci, I believe, is in it. And I knew it had won an Oscar, I think, from writing a game for this podcast about, comedies winning Oscars or something like that. Like, some sort of fact. But let's do this. You've never seen it. You can cast it however you'd like.
Okay.
And we'll go ahead and read it up.
I don't know how many. Do I read stage direction?
Yeah, you can do your stage directions.
Okay, I'll do stage direction, and then, who do we have here? We have Johnny and Paulie, and Sergeant Bottoms, and the judge, and then the girl Angela.
You can also read parts. You're not just just doing the stage directions.
Anymore. Yeah, no, I'll do stage directions, and I'll do. Why don't you do Johnny, Kyle, and then I'll do Paulie, and then Rebecca. You do Sergeant Bottoms, and then Kyle. Do you want to be Vinny?
Okay.
Okay, you be Vinny. And then, Rebecca, you want to be Angela?
Sure.
And then...
Rebecca, I'll Oscar be the, award winner.
I'll be the judge.
Great. Okay.
And I think that's it, right?
If anyone comes up, you can do it right then.
I'm Johnny and the judge.
There's a scene with Johnny, Paulie, and the judge. Is that going to be confusing?
No, well, that's
let's
good.
Let's find out.
Okay.
So you're Johnny, I'm Paulie. Rebecca,
I'm Sergeant Bottoms and Angela.
This is the worst family reunion of all time.
This is like the scene in Goodfellas. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, that I have seen.
Everybody I met was Paulie and Johnny. Okay. All right, ready?
Ready.
Let's do it. Okay. My Cousin Vinny, as written without having seen by me, Daniel Van Kirk. Exterior dirt road night. A lone car drives off in the distance. Nothing but farmland and barns surround the road. Interior car continuous. Johnny, 19, drives the car, scanning the landscape for some sign of where to go. Polly, also 19, sits in the passenger seat looking at a map.
This is what I get for trying to be a good friend. Middle of the night, middle of nowhere, trying to find some all-girls school. I should have never let you talk me out of leaving New Jersey all for some broad.
It's not some broad. It's Vicky Domucci, and she's the love of my life. And if I hadn't gotten my license suspended for driving while making a pizza, I wouldn't have begged you to drive me.
I told you not to take that dare from Tommy Gunani. That's so fun to say. But you had to be the speeding pizza man, and now I'm looking for some town called Naptime, Nebraska, so that you can propose to a chick that thinks she's too good for Rutgers, and I haven't seen some pavement in 3 hours.
Oh, boo fucking who. So what? You're out in New Jersey for 12 hours. You'll be back in time for church on Sunday. Sorry that you might have to see the inside of a barn before you go back to stoop arguments and eating cannolis.
Stoop arguments.
While arguing, the guys haven't noticed that a cow has wandered into the onto the gravel road. At the last moment, Johnny sees the animal and swerves. He misses the cow but drives into a field and crashes into a barn. The barn collapses onto the car. Angle on the exterior of the car with the fallen barn on top of it.
Does this count as seeing a barn?
Johnny says from off screen. Interior police station, 9:30 p.m. Johnny and Paulie sit handcuffed to a bench. Sergeant Bottoms, a middle-aged man with salt and pepper hair and a beer belly, approaches the young men.
Take a seat on the bench, boys.
Paulie and Johnny exchange a confused look.
Now I know you city boys think you can come out here to the land handmade by Jesus Christ himself and do all the joyriding and gallivanting you damn well please. I am here to inform you that you cannot.
Sir, all due respect, but you got no damn idea what you're talking about.
Well, I know I'm talking to a cusser.
What he means, sir, is that we aren't joyriding or galvanizing. We swerved off the road to avoid a cow and accidentally ran into that barn.
Well, you should have hit the cow.
Huh?
Hit the cow, act a god. Drive into a barn because you think it's funny, act of a criminal.
Jesus Christ.
You say that name out loud, you better be starting a prayer.
I got your prayer right here.
You keep the Lord wherever you want, son. You'll be in front of the judge in the morning.
Do I get to make a phone call to a family member or my lawyer?
You can pick one.
I don't have to. Cut two. Cut two. Interior, very small but very opulent New Jersey apartment. Continuous. A hand presses play on a stereo CD player, and the sound of Paul Anka singing Tonight, My Love, Tonight fills the room. Do we have that? Nope. Okay. Close up of a smile. Two plates of spaghetti and garlic bread are placed on floral dinner mats.
Oh,
close
I have up, that.
Close up of a pinky ring being slid on. A candle is lit at the center of the table. Close up on a bracelet being put on. A doorbell rings. Close up of hair being slicked back. A doorbell rings again. Exterior apartment door continuous. The door is opened and Vinny stands with his arm open. Vinny is 43 and has never met the word subtle.
Hey, baby, the only thing more perfect than tonight is the way you look.
Standing opposite Vinny is his extremely longtime fiance, Angela. Her dress is too small and her makeup is too much and she's gorgeous.
That's a good start. Let's see if you can keep it up.
Baby, you know I can always keep it up with you. And tonight it's just us. No work, no court cases, nowhere to go. Nothing but you and me.
You promise?
The phone rings.
Sweetheart! Once I open this bottle of wine, not even St. Michael could get me to take his case.
The phone rings again.
I'm not gonna answer it.
But you wanna.
But I'm not. That's what the machine is for.
But you wanna.
The answer machine kicks in.
I'm opening the wine.
Vinny. Off screen, we hear Paulie. Vinny, it's your kid cousin Paulie.
No.
I'm not. The cork is almost out.
I'm in Iowa. I got arrested, but I didn't do nothing. Please help me for grandma.
I'm sorry, baby.
He says to Angela.
I'm on my way.
As he picks up the phone. Interior. Naptime Municipal Courtroom. Morning. The long-drawled and honorable Judge Clyde Pokins is addressing Paulie and Johnny, reading off their list of charges. Is that me, right?
Okay. Yeah.
How do you plead to the charges I've just read against you? We're still waiting for our lawyer, Your Honor. Well, I'm not.
He's going to be here very soon, sir.
Son, I don't have all day, so let's just move this along, and when your lawyer gets here, you can point him out to me.
Yeah, I don't think I'll need to.
And why is that?
Because he's noticeable.
Noticeable. How? At that moment, the doors to the courtroom burst open, and Vinny bursts into the room. Angela follows him.
Point of order, Your Honor. Point of order. I request a recess so that I may convene with my clients.
Noticeable like that. Sir, are you the defense for these two accused men?
I am the representative of innocence for these two Utes.
Utes?
Utes.
Utes.
Yeah, Utes. What are you, a speak and say?
Utes.
These two young men. A Utes.
Ah, city talk. Recess granted.
Cut to a montage. Vinny makes the jury laugh, but the judge is stoic. Another scene. Vinny interviews the farmer, and the farmer admits that he left his gate open, and that's how the cow got out. The judge is impressed. Vinny shows up to court out of his flamboyant, colorful Italian suits and instead wears country and Western garb head to toe. The judge cracks a smile. Vinny questions Paulie about helping his friend by driving him across the country. Even Sergeant Bottoms is impressed. Vinny questions Johnny about his trip to see the love of his life. Vinny uses this opportunity to draw parallels with the love of his life, Angela. The jury is touched. The court reporter cries hard. The judge wipes a tear. Angela whispers,
"I love you."
Final arguments are made. The jury deliberates. The foreperson reads, "Innocent of all charges." The judge addresses all parties. Judge Clyde Pokins, "I think we've all learned a lot over the course of this trial. Things like don't judge a book by the amount of cologne it has on. Always mind your gate and that sometimes mistakes happen. It's just part of being a Ute." Everyone laughs. The end.
Wow.
I don't think we're that far off.
I don't think so either. The montage feels like upsettingly close to what probably happens for these types of like fish in different water type movies.
Oh, for sure.
But then they're both, the mutual respect slowly builds.
Right, right.
Like, and then it ends with the person who didn't have the respect at first adopting one of the fish's attributes, like saying Utes.
It's just basically like a small town version of Doc Hollywood meets the Chicago Seven. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's probably exactly it.
Have you seen Doc Hollywood?
No.
I don't expect you either to have that. It's Michael J.
I've
Fox.
I've seen Holes.
Michael J. Fox leaves New York in the middle of the night to take a job at this big, I don't know, some big doctor job in Beverly Hills, and on driving across country in his Corvette, he like wrecks his car, and so they can't fix it because it takes forever to get a part there, and so he ends up spending like all this time in a small town. It's a very cute, great Michael J. Fox movie.
Okay.
Fish out of water, learns to love the different life than he thought he could ever appreciate.
Always liked courtroom scenes and movies. I'm trying to make one, actually, well, a TV show. My uncle was a mayor of a town in Iowa, and he got impeached for drunk driving a golf cart and shooting fireworks at rabbits. And so I'm writing like a dramatic courtroom, I'm writing a courtroom spoof based on that trial.
Yeah.
And so I've been looking into a lot of like courtroom types of movies and scenes. And the Trial of Chicago 7, well, I didn't love. It definitely has a lot of the good tropes of like the crowd going towards the people they didn't initially like up front. Like, I think Sacha Baron Cohen's really good in that movie. And what I really like is that, and it also is as funny as anything can be, and this is a spoiler for that movie, it's such a funny joke, and I think he actually did it in real life when they drop, they show up in the judge robes with police uniforms on underneath. That's a very funny bit, to show up to court dressed as the judge, and then when he asks you to change, you change and look like a cop. That's hilarious.
Right.
But I like a courtroom tropey things. I think they're very fun. A Few Good Men has, you know, some. And
oh my God.
This is the thing with serious ones and less serious movies all have similar courtroom stuff. Even like Catch Me If You Can, and like he like plays off of it by watching them. I love courtroom movies. And I guess this is from like 91 or 92, I think.
Yeah.
It feels like one of those ones that either 92. Established or played with those sort of like courtroomy things.
And I think a lot of the movie probably takes place in that. Well, like you have these little scenes of him being a fish out of water. Or like right. you said, in different water, like around town.
Probably like looking for a bagel or like something like that, like trying to do a New York thing in a non-New York place.
And they're
like,
for well, sure.
We have pancakes. And then he's like, what? And he eats mm-hmm. them. He's like, these are like good too. You know, it's...
Yeah.
It's not that it felt simpler, but it's just sort of like a nice... It just seems like a nice time at the cinema.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus Joe Pesci's always fun.
He
seemed happier back then than he does now. His face wasn't digitally de-aged, which is nice. And
but I think he's so good in The Irishman.
I think so, too.
He's great in everything. Yeah. He's always great. And he's one of my favorite actors to read stories about because he just seems to resent the entertainment industry with such a vehement anger. Where he's like, people are like, why does he only do movies with Scorsese? It's like probably the only guy that he likes.
Right. He also holds the record for shortest acceptance speech.
Really? What did he say?
What a legend.
I think he just said many thanks when he won for Goodfellas.
You love to see it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think about him in Home Alone a lot, and he's so funny. I just a big Joe Pesci guy. Mm-hmm. There's the thing on Netflix Casino. Where they talk about Home Alone. And sort of like a how it was made type
yes,
of thing.
Yes, the movies mm-hmm. that made us.
Yeah, and it's... If people are looking for like a harmless little thing to watch, this is a perfect thing. These are like 25 minutes long.
Oh, great.
If it's about a movie you like, it has interesting stories.
Right.
What's the name of the actor? I can't remember who played
Marv. Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern. There's like the mm-hmm. whole thing about Joe Pesci tanking other auditions when they tried to replace Daniel Stern because he only liked Daniel Stern. He's like, Daniel Stern's the only funny person here. So they bring in other comedians to read with them and Joe Pesci would just like... hate them and berate mm-hmm. like just basically to get his friend a job back, and I'm like, that seems like a nice guy.
That's awesome. Also I can't imagine anyone else being in that role but Daniel
it's
Stern.
Weird
he's perfect right. in it.
Oh, perfect.
They're really good. There's a lot of good stories in like that 25 minute Home Alone Netflix documentary. And then if you like any of the movies, it's worthwhile. It's just like a good Wikipedia page read, you know what I mean, when documentaries right. are like this didn't establish any views for me, but this is interesting.
Yeah. No, I love that. They did run on Dirty Dancing too, another movie I hadn't seen up until like 6 months ago.
That's actually our most frequently requested to do movie on this podcast, I would
really?
Say, is Dirty Dancing. We've done it two or three times.
Has anyone seen this script, movie?
But people ask, it's one of the few movies I ask people to not do when they submit, mm-hmm. is Dirty Dancing. And I think it's because it'd be a lot of fun to play with too, especially for how things like age gap relationships have aged.
Oh, yes. For sure. But also, they were only like 7 years apart.
But is she supposed to be like 16? Is she supposed to be 18? Or I don't.
Yeah, she's 18.
She's 18. Right.
And he's supposed to be, I think, 27. Right.
Yeah.
He looked way older.
Yeah, that's the thing, is he just looked 40 when he was 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was only 35 and she was
like in her 20s.
I think she was like 26.
But you know she's 18 because the whole first act of the movie is him asking if she's 18 and then checking her license and stuff and then making her sign paperwork. So it's just very weird.
There's a lot of paperwork.
it's a lot of holding up today's newspaper and that sort mm-hmm. of stuff. But that is, you know, that's a frequent. I like what I get so excited to like think about a movie like My Cousin Vinny, because there's something about the 90s where it just didn't look like it was trying to establish a big giant thing to make 10 of.
No.
I don't know if there's
Which
a My Cousin Vinny 2.
We had tons of sequels. I mean, sequels have pretty much
Yeah, sequels aren't a new thing.
Since like Jaws, right? Like mm-hmm. Jaws was the first big like sequel.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, somebody probably is like
Star Wars. Star Wars and Jaws around this sort of time.
Yeah. Star Wars.
It didn't seem like everything. It just seemed like there were a lot of, and I know it's painting with a wide brush because I still will find like new movies that are standalone movies that I really truly love that are like comedies, mm-hmm. but they feel fewer and further between. Like I watched Game Night and that was so funny. I watched it on an airplane.
I didn't like it.
Oh, you didn't like it? I laughed so much.
I'm convinced that in some way I watched it from the wrong seat. Like I just wasn't, like it just didn't, if it doesn't hit you the right way, like sure. in the first 10, 15 minutes, it like mm-hmm. for contextually, you're just not in that vibe of a movie or you thought it was going to be something else. I think that's what happened to me. Because too many people I like it.
Yeah.
For me to be like, no, it is horrible. It obviously is not. But I
you're
almost
allowed to feel how you want to feel, though.
I know, but usually, don't you ever feel like that when somebody like, was it a good movie? Like I can say like, sometimes you go, yes, there's no doubt about it, great film. And then there's other times you can go like, I really liked it, but I can't speak as to whether or not you will like it. Or you can say like, oh, it has some really good thing. I think if you're in the right mood for it, you might like it. Like, so many people love it that I have a hard time saying it. It's bad.
I think that it also resonates. A lot of people in our lives are comedians. And I think people were very excited for a standalone comedy that had jokes to be jokes and did comedy to do comedy and wasn't, was just, you know, that's what it was going for.
Right.
Was just.
I think I didn't know it was going to be a farce.
Yeah.
And so there were parts where I was like,
that were you mad that they made a movie based off of your streaming events that you did last year in the pandemic?
Yes, exactly. But I think I didn't know. Like, I think I went into it being like, oh, this looks kind of dark and interesting. And that what I didn't realize is I was about to see like an absurdist. Like, this is going to sound so stupid. I know. So forgive me. But like Kyle Chandler, there's a part where he's getting like beaten up in the kitchen and he takes like three like hard direct punches to the face
mm-hmm.
and then rest of the movie has like a small little red
that
mark.
That bothers me no matter what I'm watching when yeah. that happens. I mean, it happens in like, I recently just watched all of the Fast and Furious franchise for no reason for yeah. the first time. And there's so many times where people are just getting, your face is just getting pummeled within an inch of your life. And then there's just like nothing.
I just can't picture
it makes me crazy.
A more impossible to watch thing if you're bothered by, physical inaccuracies
like
scene to scene and then the Fast and the Furious. Like he's in gear 14 in his car. He's shifted 13 times.
I'm definitely suspending disbelief. Don't get me wrong. I feel like with Game Night, maybe you have a little less of that than you would be for Fast and Furious. But still, I agree with you.
Like, people, it's not that hard to break this ocular bone.
No,
here.
And also, like,
when
people
you see
are getting
someone
punched,
like getting up and they just get punched like that. Like that
in
is
the nose,
so much
in
force.
The mouth.
Right.
Yeah, blunt force trauma. Like, you should have a broken nose. Your mouth should be openly bleeding. You should be missing at least one tooth. Your eye should be, you shouldn't be able to open one eye at all. Like,
and the other person's hand should be broke.
Also,
that's like the thing that
also,
you don't see the most.
Exactly,
yeah, their hand, it hurts to hit something.
I mean, obviously The Rock is like punching actual concrete and is fine. It's truly insane. And you have to, you get what you're saying.
But also,
from a biology standpoint, the human head, like, you bleed so much more from your head than from any other part of your body. Like, as someone who has had like trauma to the head, like the amount of blood is like unbelievable.
Yeah, we're like full of blood.
It's just like gushing blood. Like, it should really be like streaming out, and they have like a little cut.
I think that Hollywood
might
actually
beat up, like being beat up by a guy who like can actually break, who in the same scene is like broken an entire car with his bare hands, and yet he can barely break your face. I'm sorry. I have a problem with this.
I don't care. Because even if he was fighting himself, he would be hurting himself. Do you know what I mean? If he's fighting the toughest person that ever existed, he would be incapacitating them with one. I think it might be an actual disservice. It might be harmful to people. The sort of like throwawayness that Hollywood treats getting knocked unconscious.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, it's like Looney Tunes. I mean, it's like
people
it's
think
literally
you can
Looney
just
Tunes.
Get right back up, but no, it will. If you get knocked unconscious twice in a day, it might have physical effects on you the rest of your life. You're not 100%. Just like kind of like, ooh, I gotta go chase after him now some more.
Totally.
You are, as someone who played the pass out game in high school,
you did, Kyle.
You know what I'm talking about?
Where you like force yourself to black out.
Yeah, you just breathe heavy and then your friend just like holds you against the wall until you pass out.
I cannot believe you did that. That is so really? Dangerous.
Kids died.
You can't
doing that.
You cannot believe I haven't seen Princess Bride.
that I believe
I can't
more.
Believe you did it.
That the I guy more. Who has lingering head and mental issues from yeah, it's you don't recover easily. It is crazy
yeah.
how
yeah.
I like the as wild and cartoonish as they are, the John Wick, which was directed by a former stunt person.
Sure.
You can tell the dude runs out of bullets.
Yeah.
Every fight. Right. Over and yeah. over again. Right. And starts throwing guns at people.
People are limping. And people get hurt. They're limping.
The man who, yeah.
cause and effect.
Yeah.
We yeah, follow well, the like movie human is all bodily about logic. Effect. I mean, quite literally, yes.
But that's fun. It's fun to see like something that's created by someone who does these stunts for a living, or did, and you're just like, oh, they probably spent their whole life shooting 73 bullets out of a pistol. Right. Do you know what I mean? And not reloading, or spent their whole like, life falling off a building and walking away.
Right, because most of these movies are written and directed by people who have never been in a physical fight ever.
Right.
Right. Right. Like the average screenwriter and director is just some person. Like they've never been in a brawl.
In fact, I would go far to say they're made by someone who's avoided physical confrontation for most of their entire life, yeah, or talked their way out of them in some capacity.
And maybe hasn't even been outside that many times.
Have you guys been in a fight?
I've never a fist fight? Nah, I've never been in a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have as well. I've also been in a lot of altercations, but those weren't like fights, so it was just me like removing somebody from a bar.
Oh yeah, those I've definitely been a part of. But and then
those aren't fights. Like
two like physical sort of like a fight breaks out, and it is no one, you know, the thing. And I'm not an expert to speak on in any capacity, but fighting is a thing everyone is not as good at as they think they are.
Right.
No one is. The only people who are good at fighting are the people who won't be involved with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they also aren't thinking anything. They have full knowledge. They just, they know.
It's like you, the people that sort of like, like that old life trope of like the guy who isn't getting into the fight is the last person you want to fight. That seems to be pretty true. That seems to be like the, my dad tells the story. My dad's brother was like in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And is a huge man, could like crush a tennis ball in his hands, type of like strong, like a new pop open a tennis ball and crush it in his hands. And this is when I'm alive. So this is when he's an old man.
Sure.
And so this is like, that's a different sort of strength. And still he's a huge, huge man. He's sort of built like, you know, like when a wrestler comes back and they're like, I can't believe that guy's still like coming back for Royal Rumble. He's still huge, but he's like let go of the hugeness. Anyways, my dad tells a story about their dad died when they were real young, and my dad tells a story about his my dad got in like a fight over like foosball or something at a bar when my dad was like in high school, and his brother was back home from the military at the bar, and it's like the fight breaks out and it's a bunch of kids who don't really know how to fight, and then my uncle walking over and sort of like lifting it, like he's not even having to fight, he's just lifting everyone out of the fight, like I'm actually the only physical specimen here, you know what I mean, everyone he's the only actual tough person. That's why he was the last didn't want, and just moving everyone. And my dad's like, before it was even over, he sort of beat us all at a fight and like restrained us all. And then it's just someone so much stronger than you, everyone calms down. Cause it's pointless to like fight against a wave.
That's the thing. Like the few fights I've been in, most of them just end up like I wrestled for so long, and which made me a good door guy. Like when you kind of understand the physics of how to move another person's body, it's not a lot of fighting. Like you can just, it's why the Brazilian Jiu Jitsu guys like all started winning UFC. Like, well, no, I just know how to move. Like once I get past your like, for fury of punches, like now I'll just move your body the way that will really be uncomfortable for you, and that we're not like fighting each other anymore,
like knowing those just, like knowing those pressure points of just like I could just go like this and this and you're just done.
It's like leverage points. It's all like you it's that's
you if see I can get your shoulder going one way and like momentum with your hips, like you're just gonna go, you're just gonna go that way, like
and as someone who's never really, you know, been in, I've been in, you everyone will get tired faster than they think. Like, this just, like, no one knows how this works. I didn't. I'm flailing like an idiot in high school, like a park fight. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, where they schedule the fight after school, and we went and all everyone's tired, and then you still just have to be there and figure out who rode with who. It's, like, embarrassing.
Who rode with who?
But you get tired so fast.
So you made me think of something, though, when you were talking about, like, fights and stuff like that. Can I say, in trying to write the thing for my cousin Vinny, and I was trying to figure out, like, what they would have done? Because you need to keep these kids likable, so they couldn't do anything. Like, I thought about, like, did they get in a fight?
Yeah.
Did they, like, whatever? Like, they need to, like, stay likable to the audience with having still committed some sort of offense.
Sure.
And then, so my best, like, way around that was that assumptions were made by people as to what they were really doing. Do you know what I mean? And that's also, like, a real thing in Wisconsin. Like, if you hit a deer... If a deer comes out in the road and you swerve to miss it and you run into a tree, like, you're liable for your insurance. But if you hit the deer, you are not.
That's
because
crazy.
A deer is considered an act of God, and you swerving, you created that accident.
I thought that was just, like, a joke in the script. That's, like, a real thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's so I was crazy. Like, but then at the same time, like, you can't, obviously you're going to, like, be annoyed with, like, Naptime, Nebraska or Iowa, wherever I put it. But, like, those people you can't really hate either.
Right.
Because then you're, like, mad at them, and then you, like, want them to get their, like, comeuppance. So, like, it was a weird, even in our jokey script, like, it was a weird thing to navigate, like, how, and then you have to like Vinny. You have to like when he shows up, like, he's got to be likable.
Yeah. There's always there does always seem to be the sideism when it comes to, like, the, town, like, country mouse, city mouse sort of thing.
Yeah,
where
for
the
sure.
guy, depending on the point of view of the movie, it's either the guy comes from New York and everyone hates him because he thinks he's better than everyone, or the guy comes from New York and he can't believe these yokels he has to interact with.
Right.
And really, you just want to kind of meet in the middle. And that's what you're hoping, is that everyone will like everyone. Because
really looking forward to watching it this week, like, knowing that it's so well regarded, like, critically as well as, like, from fans, and that Marissa Tomei may have won an Oscar for it. like I'm interested to see how they tell that story, like, how you navigate that.
I do know about needle. This movie in particular. They are not accused of the cow situation. It is.
I figured, but they had to do something, right? Like,
I think they're
accused
it's gotta
be
of
a
murder.
No.
Yeah.
But it's like the obvious, but we as the audience will know that they didn't do that.
I'm not sure. Like I said, just from, like, writing before and afters and plot based games on this, that's where I know, like, they're, like, accused of murder. I think I don't think they killed someone. How crazy would it be if you watch it and they straight up did, like, murder a child?
But you're, like, still
somehow
on their side.
And then he has to come in and he gets them off because of, like, an evidence gathering loophole or something.
Yeah.
He's in there and they're, like, trying gloves on in the courtroom.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's a bad guy.
No.
No. He's just so Jersey.
There's really no way. I mean, Joe Pesci has played the worst guys, and they're still my favorite people in the movie he's in.
Why do you think that is?
Because he's charismatic.
That's just charisma?
And funny.
Yeah.
It's just, he's just funny. You can just get away with it. He's so funny in Goodfellas and, like, aware, and until he's not aware, and then it's bad.
yeah, I know.
But... He's just
like, he's even really likable in Casino, and he's not as redeeming in that as he is in Goodfellas.
Yeah, maybe just like him.
Yeah. No, I'm interested to see how it goes.
Well, tell everyone where they can follow up with you when you do watch it. We'll wrap up, and I think that's a good way to get into the wrapping of the up.
Oh,
tell
awesome!
Them, once you do follow up, let them know where to find you, what you got going on, and so, they can see where they can listen to you having had watched it.
At Daniel Van Kirk, and then I do, like, these digital shows. One is, like, Bingo, and it's real prizes and stuff. And we even do a thing where money is raised for No Kill Animal Shelters, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and food banks across America. So, like, if somebody playing is in Michigan and they win Bingo, then they get to pick one of those three organizations in their hometown, or maybe somewhere they used to live, or just maybe they have a friend in New York running a No Kill shelter. Wherever they want, they get to pick one of those organizations. So we kind of spread it out, which I really like. And then I do... pub trivia night, which is exactly what it sounds like, minus the bar. So it's whatever bar you have in your house. And we've got a league and we've got teams. And the grand prize winning team we'll pick a place where they all want to get together, and then I will come there and do a live show just for them. That's or fun. Like a live game night and hang in person. And you can win money every single time we do that as well. Everything's at danielvankirk.com. Some big news, though, starting, we just announced a few weeks ago, July 28th will be the first full episode. There's some teasers that have started just now of Rory Scovel and I have a podcast called Pen Pals, and we are about to be, I guess we are already, part of Team Coco. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Just in time for Conan to get out of TV.
Yeah, I just sent in my packet really? To work for TBS. I really hope they read it over there.
I mean, he's still going to do something. I think like he's got a deal with HBO Max, or he might do some sort of travel.
I could go in a interest. Huge rabbit hole, but the less involved a television network is with what Conan is doing, the more wonderful the program is.
So we're just so pumped to... be a part of that. That's kind of like the biggest thing that's happening right now. But next month, August 11th, I start my tour. It's the Together Again tour. A couple of years ago, I did the Together tour, and now we all literally get to be together again. So it's the Together Again tour. It starts August 11th in Chicago, Illinois, and it wraps up November 19th. In Rochelle, Illinois. And in between there, I've got like 50, those two dates, I think I've got like 50 some odd cities. So, everything is at danielvankirk.com. I'm going to be on the road a lot. And if you go and check it out and you say like, at least I would say right away, if you check it out and you don't see your city, message me, go to Daniel Van Kirk on Instagram and say like, hey, we got a great venue. Maybe I'll come there too. If it's on the road and I'm already out, I'm down. So nice. That's kind of everything.
Hell yeah.
Oh, and Dumb People Town with the Sklars right here on Starburns. Yeah. That's a lot. You'll edit that, right?
Just go to danielvankirk.com. That's what you want to do. Yeah. People know how to find stuff. So I usually just like go find, you know, here's what's going on.
Are you guys on Line? Everything social media wise?
The show?
Yeah, you personally, yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I tend to
I think I'm just going to go down to Instagram.
I think that's really here's what you could do. And this is what I've thought about is if you could just straight up go down to Instagram and just have it auto tweet out when you post on there. You don't even have to log into it anymore.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's what I'll do.
Have
I
it auto post everywhere else because, you know, you maybe got folks sitting around on there.
It just feels like the most interactive. I don't know. And I can't tell if it's like what I'm doing works most in that form of tending to be like visual.
I'm only on Parler now, so I'm not sure exactly.
Oh, that's great, man. You won't get in a fight. You're going to get
I got 10 fans, but they'll do anything I ask.
You're going to get many fights. They are loyal. I'm going to tell you, those Parler people are loyal. but yeah, I don't know. Like, I think if you're writing jokes three times a day, Twitter really responds to what you're doing. If you're posting like pictures and stuff, I don't think the algorithm in Twitter is like, that's not.
I got to figure out whichever one likes you when once a month for 4 days you really care, and the rest of the time you sort of are laying down.
I would still probably say Instagram.
Yeah.
My favorite one to watch, though, is TikTok.
It knows.
Is phenomenal. Yeah. That should be the tag. That tag.
I'm like afraid of the specificity of TikTok, if I'm being honest. Like sometimes. I'll be scrolling through TikTok and it'll be like, just talk to a redheaded and bald friend of yours on Zoom. Check this out. I'm like, what the fuck? What?
It's scary. Yeah.
TikTok asked me yesterday, what did you think of the last video? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Did you not?
Do you not know if you liked it or not?
Yeah. And I was like, I don't even think, I don't want to answer you.
My favorite bit, this all I really do, I scroll on TikTok, and if it's a sports highlight, I comment, what sport is this? And that's real fun, because I get some engagement. Like, if it's like a Lionel Messi highlight, and I'll be like, what sport is this? And I just, love that. No, I gain nothing from it. No one follows me. No one watches my videos.
But you do gain. Sometimes it's just got to entertain yourself. Yes.
It's harmless. Or if it's like, sometimes it'll be like a video of Kanye West, and I'll be like, who is that? Like, I love to comment completely oblivious
things.
Because
there are always people who are like... Really?
They get mad.
They'll tell you.
Yeah, they get really upset. Right.
Damn it, Kyle.
The soccer one will always be, it's called football, but I bet you call it soccer. And I'm like, now you just mad at me twice.
Did you know that the word soccer, though, comes from Europe?
Really?
Yes. They created that. And then, so we started calling it that, and then they went back to football.
That's so funny.
It comes from like...
The old switcheroo is what it is, which is what Australians call soccer.
Yeah, it was like something like a play on like association or club or whatever like that, and they call it was like soccer, like became the term. And so then we did that, and then they went back, the rest of the world like went to football.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and it might be specifically the UK that was like, it's soccer. And then we were like, okay, cool, soccer. And
that's what they did with the imperial measurement system as well. They really zigged when we all zagged.
Zagged, yeah, for sure.
Now here we are zagging with completely bizarre measurements.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Well, hey, Dan, thanks for being here.
This was great.
I've never seen My Cousin Vinny. Rebecca, thank you for being here. Thank you for having never seen the movie. Once again, I don't know if we've yet to have an episode you're on, Rebecca, where you're the only person who's seen the movie we're talking about.
I'd have to go back and check, but yeah, there's been a bunch Newsies. And I'm like, I haven't seen.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good movies. You guys, if you're listening to this, check one out. Go and find a movie.
Please, if you're listening,
there.
Please watch a movie, for the love of God.
We're here to plug. If you haven't seen any movies and you're on episode 160 of this podcast,
you're going
to
love it.
You are being held prisoner. And go check out Prisoners. It's a good movie as well.
That movie's fucked up.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That is, someone once asked me, I don't remember, but they were just like, is all good acting yelling? And I started thinking about it, and I'm like, I don't think it is, but I think all great performances have some yelling. Like, I'm like listing like movies, and that's like one of them where I'm like, Hugh Jackman in this movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, he doesn't yell. And they're like, he's in the car screaming. I'm like, he is in the car screaming. And I'm like, God, I can't, where's a good one where they don't yell? It's like, either a comedy or they're yelling.
Even Doubt. Every Philip Seymour Hoffman movie, he's like yelling at somebody and he's crushing it.
He's the best yeller of all time.
Yeah.
Even like Punch Drunk Love, he's in like so little of it. But when he's screaming at him to get out of like the, when he finally, Sam finally tracks him down, he starts screaming. I'm like, how's he so much better at yelling? Along Came Polly, he yells and he's funny.
Magnolia. This is the part in the movie where you do the thing.
Oh, the master? So
yes.
Yeah. I did this show called The Las Culturistas do a show called I Don't Think So, Honey. And it's basically like live sort of ranting and doing what they do on their podcasts. And I drew Amy Adams to like rant about. Sure. And she's my favorite. She's my favorite actress. Yep. And my whole rant was that she needs to demand to retroactively get an Oscar, because anyone who gives a hand job to Philip Seymour Hoffman should get an award for it. Especially then. Now it would be weird, but especially then.
Sure. Marissa Tomei. She had doggy style sex to the opening of Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
I know. Oh, that's a fun movie to watch with your parents, because you it heard it was good quick. And you like Philip Seymour Hoffman. And then you turn it on like on demand on Comcast, and that is happening.
I watched that movie like days after he died, and it was not the vibe. I was like, this is really good, but I'm not in the right headspace to watch this. Wow. This is really
with
fucked
that title,
up.
With that title, who would have thought it might not be a light, easy watch?
What was I thinking? I was like, this isn't. He's like doing heroin and it was too close to home. Yeah. I'm just like, I gotta turn this off. It's dark.
He was in so many movies, and I wish he was in so many more movies.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right. Well, we had that real uptick there a few minutes ago. Thank you guys for listening. Go to danielvankirk.com and check out everything. And thank you for listening to the podcast, everybody. Have a good day.
Boom.
Starbands Avenue, a podcast. A podcast network.